This is Jay Sekulow, an important comment from the Israeli Prime Minister. Israel's not the problem in the Middle East.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Israel has so much to offer in the Middle East to correct a great misperception. Israel is not what's wrong in the Middle East. Israel is what's right in the Middle East.
And the point of the negotiations is to see whether or not Iran is serious about coming into compliance and meeting its obligations with its international commitments.
On that point, for them to be serious, they would have to accept a deal that would involve the destruction of some centrifuges, correct?
The dismantlement of significant portions of Iran's nuclear infrastructure.
Specific centrifuges, not just broad infrastructure.
On centrifuges.
Yes.
Iran does not need nearly the centrifuge capacity that it has today. As part of the joint plan of action, Iran committed to leave inoperable roughly half of installed centrifuges at Natanz and three quarters of installed centrifuges at Fordow, so they cannot be used to enrich uranium.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Part of a comprehensive solution, we will require that Iran dismantle a significant amount of its nuclear infrastructure related to uranium enrichment.
The White House tries to portray it as basically a dismantling of Iran's nuclear program. That is the word that they use time and again. And I urge you to read the entire text. If you find a single word that even closely resembles dismantling, or could be defined as dismantling in the entire text, then I would take back my comment.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about, of course, the situation in the Middle East with Iran. We're going to talk about what's happening with Senator Schumer's Tea Party statements. And then a very interesting comment yesterday from the foreign minister for Iran, Mohammad Zarif. Zarif was asked about, and this is very important, he was asked specifically about Pastor Saeed Abedini, and he said, this is the first time we've heard these words, "We have various clemency measures in Iran that can be introduced, happened in the past, can be introduced again in these cases." Zarif said in an interview, they were in Switzerland. Now, Jordan, you know, we're always cautious on this, but again, that's the first time we've heard that word of the clemency utilized in anything to do with Saeed Abedini.
Yeah, that's right. And so, again, a glimmer of hope. But as you could tell from that interview, without pressure from the United States government and other governments around the world, you know, it's nice words, but not action. So it has to be made something that is that it's real for the United States, that they care about, and because the foreign minister of Iran also said, but that's up to the judiciary, right, which means ultimately that's up to the Ayatollah. So the pressure has to be there, behind the scenes or publicly or both. If not, they're not going to take a move out of a goodwill.
Yeah, and also it's interesting, Than, also Rand Paul wrote a letter as well, and let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, this is the issue
happened this
that
morning.
Rand just happened this morning, just a few moments ago. Senator Paul has obviously been very interested in Pastor Saeed's case for some time. His letter to President Rouhani actually asked for exactly this, that they would commute the sentence of Pastor Saeed. And interestingly enough, Senator Paul's unique in this situation because he's actually willing to have a conversation on the sanctions issue. But he says in this letter, listen, releasing Pastor Saeed is something that Iran has to do to show that they're actually negotiating in good faith. So he's really on the same page here.
Well, I'll tell you something. One of the things I'm encouraged about, folks, is that we're even the discussion point is coming up. CNN brought it up to Zarif. Zarif obviously knew about the case. Jordan, very quickly here, that's a positive, too, the fact that this is now on the foreign minister of Iran's radar screen.
Yeah, and I mean, after the media interviews have done with President Rouhani, now the foreign minister, the no top Iranian officials can act like they don't know what's going on here, that they don't know about Saeed's case. That itself doesn't happen without all the support from the American people.
So let's continue that support up, folks. We've got a petition right now regarding the UN and anti-Semitism. We want you to help us on that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It'll also help Saeed. 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let me also ask you this. We're getting near the end of the month here. We're close to our budget, not quite there yet. If you could support the work of the ACLJ this month, that's going to help. Your tax-deductible gift at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And back with your calls in a moment.
It's a travesty. The United Nations, propped up by U.S. taxpayer dollars, is anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Consider this. A UN body recently canceled an exhibit showing 3,500 years of Jewish history in the Holy Land. The reason? Radical jihadist activist complaint. Here's the problem. The U.S. gives more money every year to the UN than 180 other countries combined. It's time we stopped funding hate. It's time we stopped funding lies. The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We've got some developing news here on Pastor Saeed's case that we want to bring to everybody's attention. I know so many of you have been praying for him, his family. And by the way, if you want to talk about Pastor Saeed, express your concerns, your prayers, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. It's kind of appropriate that we're talking about the whole Middle East while all this is going on. So again, 1-800-684-3110. We're taking your calls. Let's get everybody up to speed, Jordan. First, on the Iranian side, what has been said there? Do we have any of that sound? Is there any audio on that? There is audio on it. Okay, well, can we play the clip then? Let's go ahead and play the clip that talks about specifically the release of Saeed Abedini. Before we do that, Jordan, let's kind of set the stage where they're talking about this clemency. Let's see what we've got.
Yeah, that's right. You've got a situation here where the foreign minister of Iran was asked directly by reporters about Saeed Abedini, and he said, you know, there are options in Iran. There are clemency, and they could commute a sentence. And now we've got a letter from Senator Rand Paul to President Rouhani of Iran, and he writes, urging him to commute the sentence of Saeed Abedini and release him from prison. Talked about how he met with Nagme here in Washington, D.C., Saeed's wife, and how we are concerned for his well-being, his deteriorating health, and the constant threat he faces from prison personnel and other inmates at Rajashahr prison. And he writes it in a way that I think, you know, it mirrors the language that Iran is using, not necessarily the administration, but Iran is using, when he writes, I wish to remain cautiously optimistic regarding the recent diplomatic progress between our two nations. However, I must point out that if something were to happen to Pastor Abedini while he is incarcerated, any goodwill forged over the past few months would likely evaporate. That's the kind of language that the United States government, not just our senators, but the executive branch, the Obama administration, should be using.
Right.
Basically, we'll keep moving forward with this deal, but if anything happens to Pastor Abedini, that's it. It evaporates. And conversely, granting clemency to Pastor Abedini, allowing him to return to the U.S., would do much to create a positive atmosphere that would reflect well on future discussions. I can't imagine there's a liberal out there or conservative out there, or anyone who would disagree with that this letter from Senator Paul to the president of Iran.
Now, the interesting thing is here, folks, we cannot even disclose to you a lot of the things that are going on right now. I mean, literally, right before we went on air, I had a very important call on this topic, Pastor Saeed Abedini. So when we're not talking about, or you're not seeing it on Fox, understand CNN brought it up yesterday, which, again, we're appreciating when they do that. Understand that there is a lot of work. We've got a lot of lawyers, and it's not just here in the United States. Let me explain something to everybody that's listening. We've deployed resources literally around the globe to secure Saeed Abedini's release. and this is taking a multiple-step approach. The fact that clemency was mentioned for the first time yesterday, I take that as, at least, as Jordan said, positive language. But more important than the language is the fact, and Than, this is important for Congress, it is clearly on the radar screen of the Iranians. And that in and of itself is something accomplished here. And I got to thank all of our ACLJ members for making that happen. And of course, Nagme in particular for making that happen. But that is important that it's being discussed in the media, but by Iranian officials. The president brought it up to Rouhani. Now you've got the foreign minister saying we do grant clemency. Yes, it's part of the judiciary, but we all know that that's the Ayatollah. There's something here that's significant developing, and we just need to keep moving that forward. But Congress has taken a very aggressive stand on this in a positive way, Than, and I think those hearings we've had have also been very helpful.
Oh, no question about it. And I think for members of Congress, Jay, where there is divergence is on how much members of Congress trust Iran. So much of this underlying deal is, do you trust Iran to follow through on their side of things? You know, I think we have some skepticism, but what Rand Paul points out in this letter is really on point here. I mean, he closes the letter by saying, cooperation and trust are built one gesture at a time, and actions speak louder than words. So Pastor Saeed really is a situation here where members and senators on both sides of the Iranian issue could take great heart if Iran did give this good faith measure. Maybe they would have greater confidence that we are actually negotiating with someone
right,
who they could trust. I think it is in everyone's interest, regardless of where you're at on the underlying nuclear deal, to echo what Rand Paul said today. And I actually think his letter, combined with the foreign minister's remarks, is a very positive development.
I do, too. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, who do we have next?
Yeah, let's go to Jonathan calling in from Rhode Island on line three. Jonathan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jonathan.
I'd just like to say one thing, that the 12 sons of Jacob, surnamed Israel, each went on to become a nation on the exact prophesied day.
Uh-huh.
And we keep using the term Israel for the people that are in that country, but the Jews are not Israel. The 12 tribes were the English, the Irish, the Scottish, the German.
Where are you making this up from? Uh-huh. You know, what are you reading? Science fiction and trying to turn it into Bible prophecy? That's a very interesting and incorrect point. And you, by the way, you called with under the auspices of asking how long Saeed's been in prison. So not only am I upset that we took your call, which I am, but I will tell you this, pretty cheap shot to go ahead and use a something you've read on some internet site, sci-fi site somewhere about Israel, when you're talking about a guy that's in prison. So shame on you, Jonathan. But since you did fake the question of when was he first put in prison, Jordan, let's give some of the history.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's 487 days ago. It was he was first arrested July of 2012, and then he was in prison September 26th. Just a couple months later, he was put under house arrest first, and so he's been in prison for now 487 days.
So this is a serious situation, and obviously we're working on it. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, for those, and a couple people have done this in the last week, that try to pull one on our call screeners, let me tell you something. We know exactly what you're doing. We let you go on the air so we could turn it right back at you and let you know where it's coming from. We've been practicing law. I've been practicing law for 35 years. But let me tell you what is a really low and cheap shot, is what that caller just did. We've got a guy that's in prison for his faith. And this guy's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel being English and Scottish. Okay? Really? Not quite correct. But the fact that he used Saeed as the bait for that question is the reason we let him go on the air, to show that we're not going to tolerate that kind of nonsense from people that are trying to disrupt what we are hoping is a positive move. And every step forward to us is viewed in a positive light. Look, you got to look at it positive. We got to do everything we can. As we said, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things going on we can't discuss, but things are moving. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, Richard calling in from Texas on line one. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I so love your program because I like the that we're coming together as believers in Christ to defend Israel. But, our government, the way it comes against Israel really is disheartening. And
yeah.
But, you know, what thrills me on the other side of that coin is the fact that her persecution is biblical. And, you know, there's peace in the Middle East is not going to be achieved because the Bible says so.
Well, I mean, you know, it depends how you define peace, too. I mean, right now, it's you know, you got people living there, so we have to do everything in our power to protect the innocents. I mean, that's, I think, the job of the ACLJ and our public policy debates and our work with the governmental affairs, and on it goes. So it's a serious nature. I don't believe that a peace process necessarily brings about peace, if that's what you mean. I'm not that naive. But the reality is you've got to try to secure a situation that has at least security as best you can for the people of Israel. And that is one of the things that we're committed to here at the ACLJ. And I think, Than and Jordan, when you look at the situation and all the talks and the starts and stops on the peace process, one of the big problems has been is the fact that the president's narrative in the Middle East has just failed. I mean, just completely failed.
Yeah, I mean, sure. You look at what's happening. I think on the one hand, administrations in the past, they have tried. So people will say, well, you know, every administration has tried and failed. This administration is really, I think, taken failure to another level, because it's not just the Palestinian-Israeli peace process that has long been a difficult road, but it's the entire Muslim world that has been really through an unbelievable turn. You know, you look at what happened in Egypt, in Libya, now what's happening in Syria, deals with Iran that are upsetting some of our allies in the Middle East, not just Israel, predominantly Muslim countries as well. So you put this all together and you realize we have basically got an administration that is okaying an Iranian nuclear program, not necessarily a nuclear weapons program, but an Iranian nuclear program. I mean, that is a 360-degree change from where the United States was 7 years ago.
And Than, what is kind of the sentiment right now among the Republicans and Democrats in the Senate about the sanctions situation?
Well, you know, I think just to build on what Jordan said, I mean, sound foreign policy, building sound foreign policy starts and ends with identifying your allies, standing by them, and also recognizing who your enemies are. And you know, I think right now in D.C., Jay, we've got a situation where that's confused. I mean, you think about the Iran deal and what we're doing. We're pulling back on sanctions before we see anything from them. And yet when this comes out about Israel identifying a threat, we question them. They are supposed to be our allies. That's the question that the Senate has to focus on.
Folks, we want to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We also want you to, last day, to sign on to our petition supporting Israel and supporting having our tax dollars not go to the UN in forms of anti-Semitic activities that they engage in. 41,000 have signed on. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me also tell you, we're in the last week of the month here for us at the ACLJ. So help us meet our January goal. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org and just hit that Donate Now button. It's tax deductible, and you're helping us out. And remember, share us and like us on Facebook. We'll take your calls when we come back.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It's a travesty. The United Nations, propped up by U.S. taxpayer dollars, is anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Consider this. A UN body recently canceled an exhibit showing 3,500 years of Jewish history in the Holy Land. The reason? Radical jihadist activist complaint. Here's the problem. The U.S. gives more money every year to the UN than 180 other countries combined. It's time we stopped funding hate. It's time we stopped funding lies. The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. If you're just joining us, we had a little update on Pastor Saeed's case, and that is that for the first time in a statement yesterday, do we have that? We were able to find that clip at all, or no? We couldn't find it. Hopefully, I think they're going to release it Sunday from CNN. Zarif, the foreign minister, was asked by CNN about the release of Saeed Abedini, and for the first time, the word clemency came into play. And at the same time, Senator Rand Paul has issued a letter to President Rouhani asking for clemency for Saeed Abedini. So all that, and there's some other things going on in the works as well, folks, that we can't discuss on his case right now. So a lot going on. Let me tell you this. Just pray for our legal teams, not just here in the United States, but literally around the globe, and you can especially pray for our teams that are operating right now in the Middle East. Very important that you do that, and I can't get any more detail other than that, but this is really, really important that we do this. If you want to help out on this situation as well, just go to aclj.org and sign that petition, aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. I want to get to the Tea Party statements from Senator Schumer in a moment. Let's get a couple of these calls done first, Jordan, and then we'll get to the Schumer comment.
Absolutely. Let's go to Barbara calling in from Maine, Online 5. Barbara, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Jay, and hi, Jordan. I'm incredulous that we haven't learned the lesson of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who years ago said, "They came for the Jews, I did not speak, and they came for every other religious right. organization, and we did not speak." And here we have an opportunity with a contemporary Bonhoeffer to speak up and out. I'm wondering why aren't the churches in America standing behind this?
Oh, no, Barbara, they are. I mean, there's a huge church support. The Christian, there's not a person every day someone comes up to me on the street and is asking about Saeed Abedini. I mean, the churches are heavily engaged. We have an entire website on the persecuted church issue at BeHeardProject.com. That's BEHEARD Project.com. And there's, I mean, I think it was, I don't know what the current number is, we'll get it. I think at one point there were 626,000 people signing petitions, and it may be well over that now. I think the people are engaged. We're bringing up. We can't bring it up every day because there's things going on in his case, Jordan, that we just can't share.
Yeah, we have moved to that stage. You know, there's public we had a congressional hearing right before the end of the year, December 15th. And, of course, you know, we continue to put out media like we did this week. When there's new updates, there was an update about Saeed being moved to a better part of the prison that he's in. That's, to put that in context, so you're still in an Iranian prison, but still an update. But he also needs surgery. It's been confirmed that by the doctor who was able to see him. So, there's positives and then negatives with it, with every news release, but we put out what we can, and people have got to continue to speak out. But I agree that there is a lot of support in the church. If you feel like people at your church aren't educated about it, that's something you can do, is go to your pastor, get the information. That's why I've got it all up online. You can go to BeHeardProject.com, send that to your pastor, and let them see it so that they can talk about it as well.
All right, we're taking more calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me ask Stan a quick question here. On the political side of this, what is your sense of where this goes on Saeed? I mean, there still seems to be heavy interest. Obviously, Senator Paul's comments, we really appreciate his letter.
Yeah, well, let me just quickly say, I mean, I think Nagme would be the first to say that she's been encouraged by the church response, by the overwhelming response of our members. But politically, I mean, and we've said this time and time again, this administration missed the best time to secure his release. It was when they were across the table from Iran. But let me tell you, Jay, the president has a prime opportunity on Tuesday to come back against this criticism. If he would put this in the State of the Union, and if he would commit to actually bringing this up as this deal rolls out, we could change our tune. I mean, he's got an opportunity. Iran is not going to walk away from this deal. It's a sweet deal for them. He should start now. It'd be better than never.
All right, let's take another call. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Nagazi calling in from Maryland. Online 4. Nagazi, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I was heard that there was a someone from Iran that came to the U.S., I believe, in the 90s for clemency. He came to the U.S., I believe, around D.C., and he built some things and stuff, but Iran wanted him back that they can do whatever they wanted to do. I think they wanted to kill him or something. So he was here for clemency, and it's crazy that our religion as Christianity, as Christ did it and as Stephen did it, and as what happens to Peter and Paul, is that our life, we know that this life is just for this time, but there's a life afterward. So it's crazy how the Muslims, they want to kill.
Well, it's because the respect for human life within Christianity and with Islam is markedly different. I think the tone that's been set by Rouhani and with Zarif yesterday is part of this what we call charm offensive that they've been on. But if there's an ability to get clemency, obviously we want to see it happen. Let me turn attention for a moment if I can. And that is a statement that Chuck Schumer said yesterday. This is going on the Tea Party matter. This was pretty unbelievable. This is the left justifying the bad behavior of the IRS. Listen to number two.
We have to do something to address the damage done by the Supreme Court's Citizen United decision. Obviously, the Tea Party elites gained extraordinary influence by being able to funnel millions of undisclosed dollars into campaigns with ads that distort the truth and attack government. And it's clear we're not going to pass anything legislatively as long as the House of Representatives is in Republican control. But there are many things that can be done by the IRS and other government agencies, and we have to redouble those efforts. We have not worked hard enough on
because
this.
Targeting conservatives for Chuck Schumer was not enough. Denying them access to the same thing that his groups on the left that fund him, that's not enough for Chuck Schumer. You've got to do – what are they going to do, Chuck? They're going to put him in jail? Is that what he's asking for? I mean, they're denying their tax-exempt status. We're in federal court. There's a criminal investigation, supposedly, going on by the FBI against the IRS. The head of the IRS has taken the Fifth Amendment, and you're blaming the quote, Tea Party elites. Now, that is the first time I've ever heard the left call them the Tea Party elites. So, you know, that's what they want to do? This is absurd, but it shows you what the left's trying to do here, folks. Recharacterize the entire bad behavior of the IRS. Jordan, that is what this is all about.
Yeah, you know, and boldly doing so. I'm making no secrets about it. So, you know, but I do pick up on that. I mean, the Tea Party elites is an interesting way to try to phrase what the Tea Party's about, what our clients are about. It's the first time I've ever heard the word elite used, trying to imply that somehow this is an exclusive group and business people behind the scenes is fairly ridiculous. But, again, they see them as this major threat, which is kind of bizarre considering, Chuck Schumer is a pretty safe Democrat in New York and this Democrats still control the U.S. Senate. I think what they're scared of is that and he leads up the Democratic Senatorial Committee is that the writing is a bit on the wall that it looks like, which was not the case a year ago, that the U.S. Senate could be up for grabs. So let's rely on the IRS to go after conservatives. You know, he doesn't mention at all their liberal groups, doesn't say, level the playing field, make it equal. It's about going after conservatives. Makes no mistake about it.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not Republicans. That's even what's even, I think harder to imagine. This is the Tea Party, which some Republicans think is divisive. Hurts the Republican Party, but not the Democrats, I guess.
Dan, very quickly, do you think what Schumer's doing here is a kind of a justification for the bad behavior of the IRS, and now they're going to say they're not even doing enough, they should be doing more, even though the head of it's taking the Fifth Amendment?
I think it's clearly a window into the ideology of Chuck Schumer. I think he believes that the IRS was doing their job when they targeted conservatives, and quite frankly, Jay, I think that's a pretty common belief held here in Washington, D.C.
Folks, here's what we'd like to do. We'd encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, sign our petition that's up there, but also support the work of the ACLJ. We're in the last week of the month. It's a critical time for us. ACLJ.org. Your donations are tax deductible, and you're helping us out. So ACLJ.org, or you can call in your pledge as well at 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. If you want more on those IRS cases, we have the movie up. IRSmovie.com. You should watch it online. IRSmovie.com. Back with your calls in just a moment.
The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
We'll be right back. welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a lot we've been talking about, including news on Saeed Abedini. Let me get everybody up to speed on that very quickly. There was a report that's coming out on CNN, we believe, on Sunday, where in an interview with Zarif, the foreign minister, Saeed Abedini was specifically talked about. And the foreign minister said, well, you know, we do grant clemency in cases like this, and perhaps this is a case for clemency. Now, we want those actions to be, those words to be action. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky, who's been on this broadcast many times, has asked specifically and stated specifically in a letter to the president of Iran, Rouhani, calling for the clemency to be granted. Got a very specific request, and that is clemency for Saeed Abedini. And we may be talking about, and that may be what we're talking about next week, is to really push on that issue of Saeed Abedini and the clemency issue. If that this is something, Jordan, that's moving in that direction, the fact that it's even being discussed may be an opportunity for us to galvanize support for Saeed, again, now pushing specifically for clemency.
I think absolutely. So you've got now the Iranians throwing out kind of this language, clemency and commuting sentence, and there are ways to do that, but through the judiciary. They're not acting like they don't know about it. They're not saying, we'll get back to you on that. So, again, this is it's an opportunity for the administration. The question is, do they take the opportunity? And I think the only way we can really impact that directly is by continuing to speak out. If we don't, they've not shown in the past that they seize on these opportunities. In fact, you would think that if they saw this, they would already have been to us and said, hey, we're gonna seize on this right now. We're going to, you know, just so you know. And so that we could then say that, or at least we'd be confident, wouldn't be criticizing. But, you know, until I hear that from them, it's pretty unbelievable, actually, that they have not already seized on this news.
You know why, Jordan? It's because this administration didn't ask. This letter from Paul, it's the first time we've actually asked for this. The administration didn't do that.
Let's do this. We'll have the language by. We'll have the interviews from next week. Let's do this. I'm going to talk to our team this afternoon. We're going to look at doing a full week next week on Saeed, updating everybody on the case. I think, Jordan, while we've got a lot of movement in the region, this could be a good time to get his release. Any time is a good time, but there seems to be some movement here. I want to seize on that. Maybe we can get Nagmeh on air and move this thing forward. So we're going to be in prayer for that, folks, as we look at this over the weekend. I will tell you, I'm going to be on a phone call as soon as we're off air on the situation right now, and it's an important time. In fact, when we're done with radio, I want to talk to our team and get everybody on the same on that. I'm going to ask Will to get that set up as soon as we're done. Here's what we're going to do. Let's take a couple phone calls, and we've got more coming up at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yep, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Skyler calling from Kentucky on line one. Skyler, welcome to JSecuo Live. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great.
I want to get my question in before I drop my signal here. But, I thank God for you guys all.
Thank you.
And I heard a story on Fox News last night about a CIA guy. I can't remember.
Robert Levinson.
Yeah, but am I wrong in perceiving that there seems to be an unequal effort to get both of these men out of Iran?
I'll let Jordan address that, although I will tell you this, that, we don't like it being lumped together because Saeed Abedini is not a CIA operative, but go ahead, Jordan.
I think that's it right there. The administration, until this was actually reported by the AP, who held the story for years, it said they finally released it because there was no action by the U.S. government to secure Robert Levinson's release. So they felt like they had a duty to the family to release this information. And they had paid the family millions of dollars people were fired at the CIA because they were inappropriately handling him as this contracted agent operating in the field in places like Iran. So he went and he disappeared. Now, the only people that would have known that are the State Department and the CIA, and the Obama administration would have known this. And yet they continued up until the day we had our congressional hearing. And it was the evening of that hearing after a Democrat congressman from Florida, who has the Levinson family in his district, was saying, oh, the administration's done great work. They're doing everything they can. And, you know, we can't be so critical. And I kind of blasted him back, but didn't know this was coming. And what was coming was he didn't even know that the person he was talking about was a CIA agent. You don't lump in a Christian pastor with people doing covert ops.
All right, folks. So we're going to be doing a lot more ahead here at ACLJ.org. If you don't get all of our information, start getting our tweets, our Facebook likes, share it. Also, very important, get our email alert so you can stay posted, especially as things develop. You can follow Jordan at Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSeculo. We've got, as I said, a lot more ahead here. Like us on Facebook and share us on Facebook. That's important. If you want to sign on the petition, ACLJ.org. And remember, we're in a major last week here of the month. We want to meet our budget goal. ACLJ.org. We'd appreciate your support.
It's a travesty. The United Nations, propped up by U.S. taxpayer dollars, is anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Consider this. A UN body recently canceled an exhibit showing 3,500 years of Jewish history in the Holy Land. The reason? Radical jihadist activist complaint. Here's the problem. The U.S. gives more money every year to the UN than 180 other countries combined. It's time we stopped funding hate. It's time we stopped funding lies. The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulo Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, in just a moment, I'm going to play for you an interview that Jay did yesterday on the broadcast with the Director General of our Jerusalem office, Ambassador Rami Levy. They're going to talk about this planned attack that was foiled by the Israeli intelligence agency, as well as the United States' response to this. I mean, folks, we said a couple of days ago that any U.S. response to this was going to be nuanced because it was going to put at jeopardy the Obama administration's narrative that al-Qaeda is on the run. And, of course, that was exactly what we saw. But as you listen to this interview, someone who's been very involved in both ACLJ's work around the globe, as well as working with the Israeli intelligence officials and the Israeli government in thwarting these kind of attacks, I want you to hear his perspective about this U.S. response. You know, he talks in this interview about how the Israelis would never play political games with a capture about this and how seriously they take the alliance that they have with the United States. You juxtapose that with the United States' response, and I think it just begs the question of why, when we sit down with the Iranian regime to cut a nuclear deal, does it appear that we trust them, someone who is clearly not our ally, more than we trust our strongest ally in the region, the nation of Israel? You're going to hear about all of this in this interview. We felt it was important to play it for those of you who may have missed it yesterday. Let's go ahead and roll it. Again, this is Jay from yesterday and Ambassador Rami Levy.
Well, we're fortunate to have on the phone with us our Director General of our office in Jerusalem, Ambassador Rami Levy. Rami, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Hello from Jerusalem.
Well, Rami, there's a, you know, this issue, the story broke yesterday, at least in the domestic press here in the United States, about Israel's Shin Bet able successfully to thwart this attack that was planned against U.S. interests in Israel, as well as some Israeli interests, but also our embassy. And the United States has been very, very reluctant to acknowledge anything here. Saying that basically referring people to Israel and saying they don't have independent verification. They're not taking Shin Bet's word for it, who went public. Could you give us a little bit of the background? First of all, when we're talking about Shin Bet, what are we talking about?
We're actually speaking about the Israeli Secret Service that is one of the world's top intelligence services that has been working for the past few years on the past 50 years with all the Western world intelligence services and other intelligence services. And when we speak about Al-Qaeda, we have to remember that the world intelligence services are having to deal with Al-Qaeda emerging and multiplying in a whole new range of countries. It's a completely different animal. If you remember the Boston bombing,
right.
If you remember what's going on in England, in Great Britain, etc. So the Shin Bet is one of the world's leading services, cooperating with most Western services.
So when you have a report that comes out, as it did yesterday, that these operatives were captured, arrested, and interrogated, and the information came out, and as Jordan pointed out, Rami, that's, you know, it's pointing to Ayman al-Zawahiri, of course, is really the operative head of Al-Qaeda Central on this. When you look at the threat in the region from Al-Qaeda, I mean, you know, there's been the statement from President Obama that Al-Qaeda's on the run, and then we, of course, right after that, we had, the, as you said, the Boston bombings. You had the issues coming up in England. We have concern, of course, in Russia with the Olympics, and then you had this act of terrorism that was planned for Israel. Is it fair to say that we have to view Al-Qaeda as an ongoing serious threat that is morphing into maybe, as you say, a different vehicle, but just as dangerous and maybe more so?
First of all, it's a lot more dangerous than it used to be, because if you just look at Syria, you see hundreds of British and other European Muslims, and as well as a few Americans fighting in Syria. Okay, so this is a new phenomenon which creates a much bigger threat for the intelligence services, because just as the attack in Jerusalem was and the U.S. Attack on the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv was supposed to be carried out by a combination of five Chechens with fake Russian IDs that would come as tourists to Israel, you know, they're becoming much more global. They're becoming much more multinational, and many of those British and even Americans are a huge threat to the world. Now, you have to remember, many of them are fighting now in Syria and getting a lot of experience in terror, etc. So Al-Qaeda is becoming a much more dangerous animal, and not just the Israeli Shin Bet says it. Most Western intelligence services, and especially the British, the MI6,
Jordan, you had some comments on this, too, with Rami.
Yeah, Rami, the situation here where you've got the administration and there's comments in the media today that this that there may be that they suspect a political motive. I mean, they're trying to, it seems, downplay the potential of this threat. This is while the whole world is waiting to see what happens in Russia with the Olympics and the threat of Islamic terror. What is the news like in Israel? Have people responded to, and has the media responded to, the fact that America is not yet confirming this, or is almost trying to play this down?
Well, as you know, we had a few disagreements regarding the peace process and the way the U.S. is looking at the threats on Israel compared to Israel's experience and our need to defend ourselves. So let's say it let's say it this way: the Israeli Shin Bet never would take this type of catch or capture is something to play as a political game. If you think about it, why would the state of Israel declare that its convention center, which is a major tourist center in Jerusalem,
one of the other targets, right?
Exactly. Why would we say that it was under threat? It's just shooting ourselves in the foot, and not good for our economy, tourism, business, etc. So I'm 100% sure the Israelis have the right intelligence. And if you ask me about the motives of the U.S., it's very hard to say, but it's very, very strange to me.
Yeah, it is to us as well. But, Rami, let me tell you this. We have heard from, and this is just in 48 hours, we have heard from over 38,000, I guess probably with phone calls, well over 40,000 American citizens that has said they're going to stand with Israel. And I would appreciate you, and I know you're meeting with government officials daily on our behalf and behalf of others, to let them know that despite what they're reading in the U.S. press, we appreciate the work that Shin Bet did in foiling this. Would have been another attack on a U.S. embassy. There are no political motives here on our end other than thanking the security forces of Israel that we've had the privilege of working with on a number of occasions, and thanking you and the government officials that you're working with, that we're there, we're going to continue to stand with the people of Israel, and our thoughts and prayers and appreciation are to be expressed to all those, and we appreciate you conveying that, Rami.
First of all, I'd love to do that. I actually met yesterday with President Peres, with the CEO of NASDAQ from New York, and we had a very pleasant conversation and discussed the friendship between the U.S. and the State of Israel. I want to say to all the friends of ACLJ and the listeners that as an Israeli and as on behalf of the Israelis, we really appreciate ACLJ's constant support. And the right thing to say is thanks to your support and thanks to the strength of our security and secret services and the cooperation with many Western secret services, Jerusalem is and Tel Aviv are very calm. We are full with tourists, right. And we look forward to see all of you here in Israel with us.
Great. Rami, thanks again for the update. I appreciate you calling. Rami Levy, Ambassador Levy, is our Director General for our ACLJ office in Jerusalem. Highly respected ambassador and global leader. We appreciate Rami's comments, and he'll be sharing those with officials in Israel. We come back from the break, folks. Your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. As we do go to the break, let's do what Rami said. I want to get this up to 50,000 signatures, folks. We're going to have this hand-delivered to Benjamin Netanyahu's office, letting him know we're not going to fund, we're opposing the funding of the UN's anti-Semitic actions. 38,737 of you have said, we're joining with you, Jay, on this. We're going to get this to the Prime Minister of the State of Israel. You can become part of the team. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign on to that petition now, ACLJ.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And again, let me encourage you to share this petition on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow what we're doing on Facebook as well. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Become part of the team here. We're going to make a stand for the people of Israel and make a difference again. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. When you're at the website at ACLJ.org, we sure appreciate your ongoing financial support. Back with more in a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It's a travesty. The United Nations, propped up by U.S. taxpayer dollars, is anti-Israel, anti-Semitic. Consider this. A UN body recently canceled an exhibit showing 3,500 years of Jewish history in the Holy Land. The reason? Radical jihadist activist complaint. Here's the problem. The U.S. gives more money every year to the UN than 180 other countries combined. It's time we stopped funding hate. It's time we stopped funding lies. The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Fan Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about the United States' involvement with the United Nations generally, also the emerging threat in the Middle East, just generally speaking. Folks, as we talk about foreign policy and where the United States should be as far as our taxpayer dollars going, as far as our diplomatic relations with radical regimes like Iran, and also standing by our allies in the region, most notably and historically the nation of Israel, it's important to know the history behind this, folks. And that is why here at the ACLJ, we put together a special documentary called The Export, which documents the history in the region, our alliance with Israel, what it was born out of, and also the emerging threat of radical Islam, how that has developed and where we see it going from here. We brought together a number of experts on the issue. Former Attorney General John Ashcroft, Colonel Oliver North, former UN Ambassador John Bolton, Andrew McCarthy, and a number of others. Jay walks through interviews with each of these experts and brings you the entire picture so that you can have sort of a frame of reference as we talk about issues like how much the United States should fund the United Nations, if at all. What I want to do in this segment of the broadcast is play a few minutes for you from that documentary. You can get the entire thing at aclj.org, but here's just a taste of our special documentary called The Export.
We still don't get what jihad is. Jihad, whether it is done through violence or whether it's done by stealthier measures, is always and everywhere about Sharia. It's about the implementation of Sharia, the spread of Sharia, and the defense of Sharia. Sharia is the Islamic legal and political framework. We would like to think of Islam as just another religion, you know, just a set of religious principles that's separate from our secular societal life. It's anything but. It's a full-service, comprehensive, political, social, and economic system, a military system, that happens to have some spiritual elements, but its ambitions are actually authoritarian in the sense that you have a central Islamic state that controls everything, and it's totalitarian in the sense that it really does want to control everything.
Is it geopolitical in scope?
Yes, absolutely. Every aspect of life. The threat to us is much bigger and broader than just terrorism. And it's really a march through our institutions, whether it's our political institutions, the law, our whole society.
There is a law in Sharia that says it's obligatory for a Muslim to lie if the purpose is obligatory. So if your purpose is
it
to
authorizes,
do,
under Sharia law, the ability to lie to get the end mean.
It doesn't authorize it. It obliges you,
you must lie.
You must lie if your purpose is to promote Islam.
And this is called taqiyya?
It's called taqiyya, but it's more than that. It becomes automatic in our character as Muslims to defend Islam. The reputation of Islam, its ability to grow is the most important thing. Islam is always looking at growth in numbers. And the key thing about Sharia, which makes it even worse than if you leave it in the hands of government, is that any Muslim who recognizes that a person has committed apostasy,
which means just leaving the religion.
Just leaving the religion. You will be forgiven if you kill them.
An apostate Muslim is worse than an infidel. They can tolerate a Christian or a Jew as the people of the book, or the barely.
Right.
But even if they can tolerate those, they must never tolerate an apostate, somebody who turned his back on Islam. He is as good or she is as good as dead, and they'll rather kill him than see them becoming, embracing the Christian faith.
And that's why a former Muslim or somebody who doesn't want to practice Islam anymore, they're not just scared of the Islamic government or the Ummah or the state, the Islamic State. We are scared of anybody on the street.
In order to get a firsthand understanding of what it means to live under an Islamic regime, but also to understand what radicalization means to the region, I thought it'd be good to talk to someone that came from that environment, that knew it firsthand, not just reading about it, but from personal experience. Taz Sada has actually served in that regime. Now he, of course, is the founder of a great ministry called Seeds of Hope right there in the Middle East. Prior to this, he served as a sniper for Yasser Arafat.
Islam have an agenda, a very clear agenda, Islamizing the world.
Islamizing the world.
Absolutely. and they're going to implement Sharia law. Sharia law is the toughest laws you'll ever encounter in your life. They are able to implement that in London, in England. And they are working on that in America.
Peace in their mind is not between, let's say, Muslims and infidels. Peace is when infidels live under the umbrella of Islam. And this, the conquest, brings peace in the mind. Theoretically, there cannot be, between Islamic State or the Caliphate State and other infidel states. Eternal war should be between them. Peace can reign only when everybody comes under the umbrella of Islam.
Literally, the voice barked out of the cockpit saying, General Ashcroft, call the command center. Now, that could mean any number of things. It certainly didn't register with me at the time that I was going to be informed of this massive assault on America and her institutions. But I picked up the phone. The command center began to relate to me the details which were unfolding at the time. They told me that there had been these planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. They told me that it appeared that this was not accidental, that there was a lot of uncertainty, and that there were other things that were still unfolding. I turned to the individuals in the plane with me, and I said, the world will never be the same.
So we didn't know. You know, we just knew that we had a major disaster on our hands. We operated as we normally did. You become a little bit robotic initially, even with the bodies crashing down around you. It is our job to do the very best we can to save as many people as we can. And if we fail at that mission, then people die. But I will, you know, when Terry said that to me, when he whispered that in my ear.
As he was walking up.
As he was going in up the stair to his death. It started to sink in more with me. He was more of a visionary than most people. When the second plane hit,
At that point we knew we were under attack.
Everybody knew. And I want everyone that's watching this to remember that moment. It's a very important moment. I was ordered to go with Chief Burns, Assistant Chief in the Fire Department, over to into the lobby of Tower 2 and establish a command post there. As we were hustling over there, now, this is a salty old Irish fire chief, 40 years in the New York City Fire Department, seeing everything. And I said, Chief, what do you need from me? What can I do? And he looked at me and said, Tim, there's nothing you and I can do. He said, I've ordered a fifth alarm for this building, and it's going to take him a while to get here. He said, do your best. And he said, he paused a moment, he looked back at me, and he said, Tim, we're at war. You know that, right? And I said, Chief, I know. And America knew at that moment that we were at war. And for anyone to deny that is treasonous.
Again, folks, that was from the export. You can watch the entire thing at aclj.org. But as we go to a break, I need you to go to your phone. Say, enough is enough. It is time for the United States to quit funding the United Nations. Call now, 877-989-2255.
The ACLJ is mobilized worldwide to defend the truth. Send a message to President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry now. American taxpayers must not subsidize anti-Semitism. The UN works against America and our closest ally, Israel. Stop funding the United Nations. Add your name to our petition now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.